Hello and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour driving edition. We are on the road and we are going to eat some pork and sauerkraut.
Yum!
Not that it's that time of the year for pork and sauerkraut.
It's totally that
officially,
time of the year.
But
I hit a pothole, I'm sorry.
Some people like it all the time. Sauerkraut definitely gives me the farts. I am Cake Wolf. I am joined with Cake Bitch. Does sauerkraut give you the shits and farts?
Sometimes. So it might be a very stinky night tonight.
Yeah, we're basically turning into the foul-mouthed dysentery podcast. What would you say about that?
Accurate.
Yeah,
although
we
don't
talk.
Die and
we masquerade as a horror podcast, but really we're a podcast about dicks and farts and poop and vaginas.
I feel obligated. I feel like it's necessary for me to apologize for my weird baby penis eating joke.
Will you stop bringing it up? I just let it go. No.
I just want to say it was too much.
Ignore it. Let it go. It never happened.
I have anxiety.
It's over. I never want to imagine anything like that again. Today we are covering two episodes of Monsters. I am kind of going a little bit insane here. We have, 31 Days of Halloween Extravaganza, covering the horror anthology Monsters from the late 80s to early 90s. Very tired of saying that.
It's almost over. Praise Jesus.
Well, I don't want it to be over. I'm just tired of saying certain key words.
Praise be.
So we got today episode 10 of season 3. The Waiting Game is what we're kicking it off with, and then we'll be moving to Sinsop, episode 11 of season 3. The Waiting Game aired December 9th of 1990. Its director is Bruno Spandello, its writer is John Fox, and it stars Doug McKean, Stephen Burley, Carrington Garland, and that's about all I care to mention. There's a bunch of other people, but, whatever. Basically, what we have here is two dudes that are working in, the button room, the ever-present and, talked about room with the red button, essentially. It's basically, these two guys are in charge of hitting the button when nuclear strikes are going to commence from our ever-loving President Jackass. In this fable, but could apply to real life, possibly.
Well, no, they don't know who actually, declared war, nuclear war. They don't know who launched it first.
So if they don't know who launched the nuclear attack, then I guess it could have been Kim Jong-un, anyone really, right?
Well, I think we find out who
Bette Midler
at the end.
Bette Midler launches
a
nuclear attack, and therefore our boys here strike back in, to keep things...
Bette Midler.
Right. They do that, and there is a bunch of banging and booming because, nuclear attacks do that sort of thing. Happens pretty quick after they launch, and these two guys, they spend a lot of time getting bored and trying to put together wooden puzzles. They find out that there is a woman at another
outpost.
Yeah, another outpost somewhere, not far away, who also is there with her other person who pushed a button as well. And the two of them are going a little bit loopy doopy. She's doing a little bit better than her superior that she's with. He wants to get home to his family, even though they're probably fried chicken at this point. And, so he does do that. Nobody can talk him out of doing it, and so he does. He goes out there, becomes fried chicken, I guess, and she ends up getting freaked out, but talked down by these other two dudes who are in the first place that we covered. And specifically one of them, who I'm just gonna call Babyface. He really loves her after talking to her for 8 hours about getting drunk, and she has a sombrero story that we only hear the tail end of, but we see them laughing about it.
They did that twice. It's like when you are talking to your friend about your crush and your crush comes into the room and you're like, oh my God, talk about anything else. And then I said, give me that sombrero.
Yeah, it's bad. Anyway, Babyface loves her. And so that's what he's really focusing on. But yeah, so she eventually wants to go outside because she's revisited by her superior who says, hey, let me in. I would like to come back in. I made a mistake. There's really nothing wrong out here. So family's not fried chicken. There's a bunch of survivors and they want some company. So let us in. And she's like, yeah, I'm just going to let him in. I don't care that he's standing too far away from the door for me to get a good look at him. And the shadow doesn't seem completely human. So I'm just going to go ahead and open this door. Babyface says, no, don't do it. It's a trap. Has a little bit of an Admiral Ackbar moment right there. But doesn't work. She goes outside, disappears. Babyface is really tired of his other dude that's with him shit. Because, you know, other dude actually wants to talk. And, I don't know, maybe have some anal sex. Because they're here for a long time, like forever. And they're going to have some kind of, like, connection forming at some point. But Babyface is against it. He really wants that chick's boobies, and he can't have them now because she's probably fried chicken. She's not fried chicken. She shows up at his door and says, hey, I'm outside. Ignore the fact that I'm standing too far away from the door for you to get a good look at me, and ignore the fact further that my shadow doesn't look completely human. How about you come out here and join us? There's a bunch of survivors, and they can stand around in a circle while you and I fuck. He thinks that's a great idea, so...
It's not her exact words.
It's basically her exact words. He decides this is a great idea, so he goes to open the door. His buddy that's with him says, you open that door, I'm going to shoot you. Dude says, well, that doesn't make much sense. If I go out there, you think I'm going to die. Why waste a bullet? You might need it. And he's like, yeah, good idea. So if you go out there, you can't come back in, you know, because you'll be infected. And dude's like, yeah, that's fine. I'm going to go get pussy. He goes outside and, yeah, the door closes. As soon as he's outside, he sees the woman who now is sort of like a monster. She's basically got some dermal implants done while she was out in the nuclear wasteland of, Fallout Vegas, whatever. She has these, like, funky things going on her forehead, and her nose is kind of strange. She's got some sharp teeth and some funky-dunky nails.
She's a Buffy vampire.
She spent too much money at whatever nail salon she went to and didn't get a very good job done. Didn't work out for her. She looks pretty weirdo. But at least she has a vagina, and that's what this guy wanted. Unfortunately, she's not going to share it with him. She's going to give him to her master, who appears out of the mist and is basically this dude that's wearing rags. He kind of like has long hair, has dermal implants in his face, looks a lot like her, but just a dude version of her. And I guess he's supposed to be kind of like a Jesus figure because he stands there and opens his arms out like in a crucifix kind of position.
Right, and he's wearing, like, Jesus clothes.
Yeah, so...
with the long hippie hair.
Yeah, so he opens his arms, and a bunch of other people appear, like, from the mist as well, and join standing around him. Babyface seems very distressed about this, wants to come back inside, but his friend's not going to let him back in. And so, yeah, he basically gets... whatever. We don't get to see what happens to him, but there's a short transition, and then we see Babyface is now dermal implant weirdo face Babyface, and he's joined the collective, and he is now trying to get in. His buddy won't let him in, so what he's doing is he's trying all of these passwords. Basically, it needs two passwords to get into this outpost. It needs Babyface's password and his buddy's password. Babyface knows his password, but he doesn't know his buddy's. So what he starts doing is, it's like an 8-digit password. He's starting off by doing all ones, and then all ones, and then a 2, all ones and then a three and so on and so forth. He's going to go through all the numbers and he says, eventually my persistence is going to pay off and I am going to get at you and make you a thermal implant dude like the rest of us. So that's where our episode ends. It is the waiting game. He's going to be waiting in there, I guess, for a long time. If I was him, I would at least look out the window, try to find the gangly-looking women, and beat off to them. Like, what else are you going to do at that point with your time when you got nothing but a wooden puzzle in your bomb shelter? So,
I don't really
find
understand. Interesting
things to stick up your ass. Like, I know Marquis de Sade, when he was imprisoned, he found some things to do with his time. He had, like, basically this stick that he used to pleasure himself by sticking it up his ass. And he also used this stick to write some of his literary works while he was imprisoned. He wrote them with his blood and feces. He was constructive with his waiting game that he had going on. So I think this guy could probably come up with some crafty things himself. Like, when you're imprisoned for that long, I think that your imagination will just kind of run wild and take you to some wonderful places.
I mean, like, how long is he going to be stuck in that thing? Should he just shoot himself in the head and end it all? Or should he just join the vampire crew? And, like, what are these vampires going to drink?
Well, we don't know that they're vampires, Christina. For all we know, they are, like, followers of Bette Midler. Like,
no,
just, like, weirdo Bette Midler wannabes.
They
like,
have vampire teeth, and they're very happy about the eternal night.
Well, we don't know that they are vampires. They don't say anything about the eternal night.
They do say, welcome to the eternal night.
Okay, maybe they are vampires then. That Jesus. Makes sense to me. I mean, it's such a terrible episode. I didn't
vampire
even give
Jesus.
A shit. They all, like, want to live forever so that they can watch reruns of Golden Girls for all eternity. Like, that's what they're there for.
Everything is destroyed.
Yeah.
And there's no humans. Like, I don't know how they're going to feed.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb.
I didn't like
it. It's
this
pretty
one.
Dumb. It's dumb, dumb, dumb. I hate it.
I'm giving the monster one and an episode the one.
Yeah,
that
it's
episode
yeah, monster and episode both get a one for me as well. It's one of the worst episodes. It's fucking stupid as shit. I mean, I didn't pick up on the Eternal Night thing, but yeah, sure, that would convey vampires. But, I mean, you gotta give us more than just a one-liner to describe our monster. Like, the fucking show itself is called Monsters. The show isn't called Stupid Episode with a lot of dialogue that doesn't lead up to anything. Some mentions of sombreros.
And then give me that sombrero.
Yeah, like, come on. Fucking hell. Oh, my God. So bad. So bad. As for other media recommendations, I don't really have anything for you. Pretty.
Well, I said World's End.
Dead inside.
World's End, because it's the end of the world.
World's End? Oh,
with the
yeah.
Crawl.
Sure.
And, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, although that was meteors and not a nuclear winter.
Yeah, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. What's that about? And talk very loud because we're in a car.
Well, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World is about Earth is going to be hit with a giant meteor and basically is going to end life on planet Earth. And Steve Carell's character and Keira Knightley, I want to say.
Yes, it's Keira Knightley.
They come together and form like this little romance and they die together.
There's the end of the movie for you. Cake Bitch ruined it. There you go.
I mean, there's literally a meteor on the way to Earth.
All right. No vampires in that one. Will Smith's I Am Legend does have vampires in it. I think that's a fun one. Check that one out if you haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that one, and I love him.
Yeah. There's several incarnations of I Am Legend. Of course, there's the, I believe it's Matherson that did the original tale, which is pretty different from everything that you're going to get in the film adaptations of it. And it's a lot of fun. I suggest that one. Really nice dialogue going on between Last Dude and essentially Dracula. Basically, like, two of them trying to find a way to coexist with one another. Yeah, so it's interesting. We also have what's the dude's name from Planet of the Apes? Charlton Heston. Planet of the Apes in the Mouth of Madness. Charlton Heston's a badass. He had his own version of the I Am Legend story. I forget what it was called. Completely different than the Will Smith story. Oh, the Omega Man. That's what it was. And yeah, that one's fun as well. Again, way better than The Waiting Game. So avoid that and check one of those things out. And any of those things. Any of those things. Watch The Golden Girls. Why not? That's better than that episode.
I mean, they're approaching the end of their lives.
Did The Golden Girls ever have Halloween episodes?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Because I know a lot of those shows back then did. Roseanne was famous for their horror episodes.
Yeah, Dustin's roommates have, like, all of the Roseanne Halloween episodes.
I like them. Yeah. Yeah,
maybe,
and
maybe next month, I mean, next year we can do that.
I think Roseanne was a fan of Halloween. I know she was in the Freddy's Dead Nightmare on Elm Street movie. That was fun to see her and her current husband at the time, Tom Arnold, ham it up. They didn't have too big of a scene, but it was nice seeing him in there.
I mean, she's pretty cool, too. I like
her. Yeah, Tom Arnold's a bit of a shit, though. He's not, I mean, I like him on the screen, but in life, he's kind of an asshole. But that, then, you know, whatever, that's fine. Don't have to judge a movie by the people in it, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I won't watch a Tom Cruise movie, so.
Well, I mean, what good Tom Cruise movies are there, really? I like the Mission Impossible ones. They're fine. I think they're serviceable for a watch. Beyond that, I can't think of too much on hand. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's talk about SinSop.
Well, I think I really like the Mission Impossible movies for Diamond Dog. He was a badass character.
So, but, like, what's the point, what's the point of watching Mission Impossible if you can watch James Bond?
I think Mission Impossible is fun.
But is it as good as James Bond?
If you're running out of James Bond movies, you got Mission Impossible movies.
I know, but can't you rewatch James Bond movies?
Well, sure, but some people want more.
Yeah,
and I can't think of what the book series is called, but there is a spoof book series based on a character, I believe, by the title of 006. She is essentially James Bond, but she's, you know, they're sex books, basically. They are completely absurd and ridiculous and have inspired some of my works. Yeah.
Does everyone she
but
has
of course,
sex
my brain
dies.
My brain isn't working so well.
Does everyone she has sex with die?
No, not all the time, but sometimes. I mean, it's, you know, it's just completely wacky taffy stuff. I wish I could think of these. Nautipus. That's one of them. Nautipus. Like nautical and pussy.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one of them. You're not gonna find these cheap. I had to get mine years ago. Probably like over 15 years ago. No, I got mine digitally, just finding spots online you can download them at, because anywhere that you're going to find like actual copies of them is going to cost you an arm and a leg.
So, but you own the digital copies.
Some of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, check those out. They are funds. Anyway, moving on to our next episode, we've got SinSop. And again, I apologize for this whole like podcasting in the car. You're probably hearing a lot of background noise.
Turn signals.
Yeah.
As I use them.
So sorry about that. Anyway, SinSop aired on December 9th of 1990. This is episode 11 of season 3. And SinSop is directed by PJ Pesk. Its writers are Alan Bogue and Doug Wallace. And it stars Richard Borg, Christine Dunford, and Christopher Shaw. SinSop is starting off with a... Jesus. It's another bad one, and it's starting off with a, like, stereotyped churchwoman we get a pan up shot from her shoes up her like skirt. Like if you're going to do a pan up shot on a woman and you're starting at her feet and, you know, she's wearing heels and you see a little bit of leg, you expect to see the rest of the fucking leg up to the thigh crossed out, you know, and then leading up to a sexy broad. No, we get a fucking like plaid fucking long ankle length skirt that this like conservative woman that's got more clothes on than, you know, a fucking Eskimo.
Wait,
and
you don't think they did that on purpose? All Easter colored. Ironic?
I guess. And she's just like this homely looking 50 year old that apparently likes to get randy with the local townspeople. And she does it regularly, getting randy. And like she's like basically the town bicycle. And she looks like someone's mother. So yeah, if that turns you on, find that town and you can ride her all night.
Did she really imply that she had a bunch of sex?
Yes, that's why she was here. So
I
basically,
she just felt like she
we are following the lead actress, which is basically this sexy blonde with long legs, and yeah. She's there. She sits down next to this homely-looking Christian type, and they have a discussion back and forth. They're being vague about things. Basically, a Christian woman is here to purge her sins because she likes to go out on the town and have a little fun with her pussy. So
I did not get that. I kind of just got that she was a normal person, and she like felt like she accumulated sin.
No. No.
Okay.
No. No.
Like, why? What did she say that made you think she's the town bicycle?
She basically said that she likes to fill her vagina with dick.
No.
So, yeah, moving on, we have this vague discussion about how this place is a place that you go to get your sins purged. And, yeah, the reverend here, he does a great job. We hear him working upstairs with someone right now. And, yeah, so this Christian type's there to get this done.
It sounds and like a coffee enema.
Sure.
Happening upstairs.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it does. It sounds like a fucking coffee enema upstairs. And I have heard those done. I have heard those done. I won't tell you why. Anyway, he comes down. He's basically this skinny, like, maybe mid-20s dude that's wearing slacks that are too big for him, so he keeps, like, pulling them up. Basically, he got his suit at a sale, is what he says. Doesn't fit him very well. He's sort of a humble dude, I suppose, is what we're trying to get the image of here.
Yeah.
And, sure, everyone's kind of like a country bumpkin. This is somewhere in the South. They all have that kind of twang. I do like that twang to the voice.
I'm going to say Tennessee.
Jeff Hammer has an awesome twang to his voice. He always thinks I'm fucking with him when I say that. But no, I think he does. It's cool.
I love Southern accents.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. We have him escorting the person who he just purged out the door. And the Christian type is a regular. So he approaches her all welcome-like. The new one approaches him and tries to flirt with him to get him to, like, expose something that he's unwilling to by, you know, feeling frisky or whatever. Doesn't work on him because he's pretty child-minded and, like, innocent. And
yeah, he seems
so
pretty pure.
Yeah, so when that doesn't work out, he basically says, well, it costs $7 to come upstairs and witness a purge if you want. And she's like, well, how much is it going to cost if I want to go all the way? And she kind of like...
The wink, wink.
Yeah, tries to like rub up against him. And he's like, oh, well, she says, do you charge by the pound? He says, I charge by the gallon. It comes out as a liquid. And she says, okay, whatever, this is too much dialogue, let's move this episode on. So they go upstairs, and she witnesses Christian type get purged. Basically, there is a mad scientist type lab up here that looks like it was made by a 5-year-old. It's basically, you're replacing like Bunsen burners and beakers with a bathtub and some hosing that you'll get at the Home Depot. And we're replacing computer screens with a piece of cardboard with a magic marker and like a straw as the needle. So that's what we got. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the hose reminded me of colonoscopy.
Right. The needle basically has different levels that it will point to. Small, medium, and fuck you. So basically, if this thing gets too high, it can like have bad effects. And all of these machine parts are connected to a dead dude who's in a zoot suit on a fucking bed. And he's strapped there. So we find out that this dead dude was once the most evil man in the world. And now that he is dead, God has blessed him with the gift to purge sins from people who are sinful. And all they have to do is touch his hand, and then this tube that that connects to his asshole into the bathtub will push this liquid sin out into the bathtub. Bathtub's getting kind of full, and when he touches the Christian woman's hand, she acts like she's having a fucking orgasm.
Well, his eyes come wide open.
Yeah, his eyes come open, and his and his face like has this weird thing where it gets like lumpy mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, she's like, oh. Yeah. Well, I'm not a. You do the like sex noises.
I can't do. Just, it's like every porno. Okay. Ever created.
Just make some sex noises to convey the Christian woman. Loud. Come on, you can be louder.
I'm done. I'm done.
Jesus, that's nothing for the people listening.
I'm not gonna.
Why do you think they listen to this show? They want sex noises.
Probably make horrible comments about things.
Well, I think they want more sex noises.
I think they probably have watched some pornos.
All right. Well, she's getting all hot and bothered. And the hot blonde is clapping her hands. She thinks it's all a show. And she's not buying it. We get the Christian woman leaving. While the preacher goes down with her, there's a new guy down there. He's playing with a lighter. He's wearing some cowboy boots, and he's talking all like, I'm the badass of this shitty episode. So that's your badass of this shitty episode. And basically, sorry, hold on a second here. So basically, he says I'm the badass, and I'm going to come upstairs and rape that blonde up there that's about to touch the old man.
Well, yeah, so a few things, but yeah.
Yeah, so he goes upstairs, and he tries to rape the blonde. He starts feeling her up and saying, I am the most evil man ever, and I am, I've committed all of the sins, I've broken all the Ten Commandments, I've starred in the movie Salo, and I have starred in the movie Mom and Dad, and I have starred in the movie Serbsky film, a.k.a. Serbian film, and I am now going to do horrible acts on this sexy blonde.
I think, though, you need to mention that sexy blonde actually did touch the sin sop, and she had the same reaction as the Christian woman.
Yeah.
So she became converted before this bad man.
It was actually nice to see the sexy blonde touch the dead man and start moaning. That's your best part of this episode, because, you know, seeing a good-looking woman moan like that. I mean, it doesn't happen in real life, so you gotta watch it on TV. And, you know, maybe it does happen in real life if your woman is faking it, but, you know, come on.
I mean, that's the only time.
That's the only time you're gonna see it, when it's faked.
But it doesn't sound like that when it's for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's breathier.
You want to see it for real and not faked? You basically get You get one of those vibrators to put on the clitoris, one of the vibrators to put up the ass, and
not up the ass,
and another vibrator to put on your shaft while you're pounding in.
That's too many.
Your penis is not good enough to make a woman do that.
I've inserted a vibrator into my vagina while it was running, and it was very uncomfortable. I don't know. I guess those rabbit things that they have, that's more rotation than a vibration.
Right.
So I think that's how those work. So get a rabbit.
There you go.
And use it on your lady friend.
There you go.
There you go. And then you'll know what it actually sounds like.
And then you
like.
Can pretend that you're as awesome and a sexual beast as this rotting dead man that's connected to a,
right.
a bathtub.
Right.
So, yeah, he is the sexual god here.
Except they're faking it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're Jeff Hammer, you're not going to be getting that kind of reaction out of anyone. Well, I guess if you're also this dead man, that'll work too.
Yeah, apparently dead guys.
Yeah. So, sure.
They're actually, stiff and they don't talk back and you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah, so yeah, actually so. I think a good recommendation for this one's going to be, and I couldn't think of it before, but now that I'm talking about it, the Necromantic movies. That's Necromantic with a K at the end.
Whoa. Classy.
Yeah.
With a K.
Yeah, there's some hot and bothered German movies with people having sex with corpses.
Mm.
Yeah, why not?
Mm.
Yeah. So we got that. And this episode doesn't go there, unfortunately. But
unfortunately.
Yeah, so yeah, so she's a reporter. She recognizes the fact that he is the most awful man alive, and yeah, so he says
she
yes.
Recognizes him as a murderer.
Yes, I am the most awful man alive. And as he's like trying to like rape her, the preacher tries to stop him and just gets thrown around. And then, basically, he's like, you know what? Before I rape you and kill you both, I am going to touch this old dead man.
I'm
going to
touch the butt.
So he does. And then he starts, like, he's not moaning. He's actually freaking out. And the old man's getting, like, overloaded. The bathtub's getting pretty full. There's juice just, like, popping out of the old man's face at this point. Those mashed potato like lumps are turning into like popping boils. And yeah, it's all green slime that's coming out of him. So it's kind of cool looking. Bathtub's overflowed. Yeah, and the straw thing breaks because, you know, it's overloading on sin.
It's
and
too much sin.
We see some slime coming out of the most evil man alive, and then of the most evil man alive dies, and the corpse itself dies. Well, it passes on, I suppose.
Yeah, it kind of gets out of bed at one point, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it won't let him go. It like grabs him by the throat at one point. They're rolling around. We transition to see that Sexy Blonde has made it her pilgrimage to come and see this preacher monthly. So she basically comes and gives him money, and, you know, she wants to get purged again from her sins so she can feel like a virgin.
Ooh.
For the very first time.
Like a virgin. You know what? Other media.
When your heart
Bridget
beats.
Bridget Jones. The second Bridget Jones.
Next to mine. yeah, so that's what's happening there. And she goes upstairs with the preacher, who has a better suit on now. This one actually fits him. And as you would expect, the most evil man alive that has died is now given the ability to purge sins.
Ta-da!
Yep. There you go.
Yep.
That's your episode.
Yep. He upgraded his equipment to the preacher man.
Sure.
So, that's nice. I don't know. Did they get a payout from the murderer? Like, how did they afford to upgrade? Was this reporter so wealthy? Which doesn't happen.
Well, I assume that the reporter did a story on it that probably got sold to the World Weekly News.
And now everybody's
because who else would buy it?
Right.
Yeah.
Now everyone's coming to him.
One of my favorite World Weekly News articles was about, it was like a running theme about Bigfoot. I love the Bat Boy ones were really fun. But the big boy, the Bigfoot ones were even more fun because, like, Bigfoot had sex with this masculine lumberjack, and the lumberjack gave birth to Bigfoot's children. He actually birthed them from his asshole. Yeah, it's just like some really weird stuff.
This is factually inaccurate.
And we've got like this this lumberjack like in love with Bigfoot and just like wants Bigfoot to come back and be responsible and, you know, help pay for the children, at least if he doesn't want to be around them. So
cool. I've never ever.
And then Bigfoot like steals the kids, and then Bigfoot, you know, it's just this running gag. It's fun. Anyway. That's what I think happened there, and it doesn't matter. This episode, I'm going to give a 1.5. The idea was all right, but there wasn't much of a monster here. Did like the blonde. I thought she was fun to look at.
She looked like, was it Jessie from Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, a little bit.
She looked like her. I give the monster and the episode a 2.
Yeah, I'd give the...
This one was a lot better.
I'd give them both. I'd give Monster and Episode a 1.5 each. Because I did like the slime coming out of there, but as I said, it wasn't much of a monster. It wasn't much of an episode, but it was fine, I guess. If you want to check out one of the bad ones that we didn't like too much, I'd say this is a bad one you can check out.
This is a really bad one.
This is one you don't have to skip if you like the bad ones, because it's fine for a bad one. So don't really see this one working as a movie. Don't want to see it working as a movie.
Yeah.
That's what I got for you. So any final words, Cake Bitch?
I don't know. I was writing this like beautiful high about season 3. Like I thought, oh man, they really got their stride down. Like everything is good.
And yeah, now, fucking Joey Tribbiani, right. Wesley Crusher.
And then these two episodes just brought me back down to reality. Like this is why they didn't have a fourth season. They were just too.
We haven't seen them. We don't know.
They are just way too all over the place. Like they're not consistently good.
That happens, and we're gonna get some more good ones. I know for sure the very last one's very good. Anyway, we're gonna close out. And thanks for joining us today and putting up with our bullshit while we're podcasting and driving at the same time, trying to get too many things in for the day.
Beep.
Yep. Anyway, you guys have a great, what the fuck, like, how do I end these episodes now? I don't know what to say, like.
Don't watch these two episodes, you're welcome.
Alright, there you go. Closing it out. Peace.